Thank you, Sanjay, for giving me this opportunity to share. And one of the biggest blessings of my life is to come into close contact with some of the dons of Indian classical music at the later part of their lives. And one such maestro was Ustad Mushtaq Ali Khan Saab. People from the earlier generations, whenever they heard his name, would know whom we would talk about. For the newer generation, he was one of the most significant sitar players of the past century. The prime time of his musical career was in the 50s, but he continued to be a great influence on many of the musicians, both instrumentalists and vocalists, in many areas in musical pursuit. And one of the important things that musicians acquire out of their pursuit in music, riyaz, through riyaz and taaleem and then performance, is being specific about certain things, that you don't leave any room for compromise. Just one, just that. So I was blessed, you know, working at All India Radio to be his accompanist on many of the recordings. He had specific instructions to have me on duty. And in one of those occasions, you know, as we sometimes focus on certain areas of technique and intonation, that time I was practicing Dhatu Nara quite a bit. I don't know what was the influence at the time, so I was practicing that, and in the recording I applied in the first cut. When he came, I was just waiting for the jhala. He would do, his style was ala, jor, and then madhulai gat. Beautiful razakhani gat. And at that time, everyone was more inclined or fascinated with Mashid Khani Gat, and the absence of that would turn many tabla players off a little bit. Oh, he's not playing bilambit, madhulai, almost like, you know, accompanying a vocalist. And I enjoyed that thoroughly. I mean, the whole entire style of playing madhulai got his own way of unfolding, and he would really start very slow madhulai got and gradually take it up to the jhala. And when the jhala came, naturally I applied the Dhatu Nara. And you would seldom see Mushtaq Ali Khan Saab. He was a terror, you know, to many tabla players or musicians. You would rarely see him smile. He was cracking inside. You know, he couldn't laugh because of the recording obligation, but he was smiling. And then afterwards, it was a 30 minutes recording to be broadcast later on. It was not a live broadcast. And then he put his sitar down. For every take, he would change the string of the juri. Very, very particular. You know, they would never take a chance. So he changed the juri string. And for every recording, he would, you know, unfold. He would fold up the other strings, who would kind of take out the clarity part. And he, as he was changing the juri string, he was still smiling. And then he opened up. So, Samir, you have practiced Dhatu Nara quite a bit these days. I can see that. And, you know, with all humility, I confessed, yes, I have been working on that. And he said, this is brilliant. But have you ever thought that where the thun might be tuned to? It's usually on a re, second note. But whether it's a natural re or a flat re, komal re, we don't know, right? The tabla player also, maker also doesn't know. It just comes out naturally. There's not much of a control. But, so what if there is no re in my rag? Or the re you are playing is not applicable?
Interesting thought.
Oh, boy.
So
I kept quiet, and his advice was that just play khara theka, straight nathin dinda, kinar and sur, in such a way that there will be no need for tanpura.
Wow. What was the time? Do you remember the year?
He was in his... I think this was his 73rd year. Mm-hmm. And around 1984, I would say.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and... Yeah, and I remember every time he came for recording, and the recording would be broadcast a couple of days later. If I visited Nikhil Banerjee, Pandit Nikhil Banerjee, you all know about him. The first question he would ask was, "How is Khan Sahib? Mm-hmm. How long did it take to warm up?" Normally, you know, in his mid 70s, he'd take 10 to 15 minutes to warm up. And Nikhil has already heard the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And he said, "That's it. Even at this age, just 10 to 15 minutes of warm-up time." He would just tune the sitar and give me a small break that you can go have a cup of tea or use the restroom and just roam around and come back in 10 minutes. Now, he was another couple of things about him, how he was associated. You know, he was a court musician of Jaunpur. He came to Calcutta whenever all the musicians were moving to Calcutta to make it their home. And he was first located somewhere in the central Calcutta area, and then later on moved to North Calcutta, started living in Paikpara area. And his next door neighbors were Naren Mitra, the writer. And his wife, Shobhana Mitra, was also a very good singer of semi-classical music, mainly specialized in that. And Nitai Bose, one of his dearest students, used to live in the same area. So it's within 2-3 houses. And they took care of Khan Sahib and his wife a lot towards the later part of their lives. And if ever, now this is an interesting part, that if ever he had to have Shojne Data, drumsticks, his house is right next to Ashubabu's Bazaar, the big market, you know, where people come from long distance to get special items or rare items. He didn't trust that. Mm-hmm. He would go to Michua Bazaar to get the drumsticks. And in those short breaks in between the different cuts, you know, 3-hour, half an hour recordings, he would give me this. "Beta, if you want to have drumsticks, don't compromise. Go to Michua Bazaar. If you want real goat meat, go to Hafiz." All those goats hanging in the local shops may look small, but maybe much older in age than the ones sold from Hafiz. And you need quality. So that was the emphasis, that quality, not quantity. Do not compromise.